chapter 11 and verse number 8, if you can stand with me one more time as we honor the reading of God's word. We're glad to have you here. We're glad to have our students, many of them in here tonight. Our youth pastors are out of town, so they had to come in here, had to deal with me tonight. Amen. But we're glad to have them in here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity, or might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The God of Abraham, Father, tonight, help us in the word of God. Give us that anointing to teach this word. Let us see what you intend here before us in this place tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated this evening. You know, before we get to where we're going to be really in the narrative tonight, and we dealt last week some with Abram as well. We kind of pick up there again tonight. But before we get to where we are in the narrative, as I said, we need to remember that God changed these two people's names. They were Avram and Sarai, you know, Abram and Sarai. But he changed their names to Abraham and to Sarah. And the way that he did that was to give them a letter out of the Hebrew alphabet that really the letter corresponds or is the Hebrew equivalent to our H, our letter H. And so he gave them this letter and placed that in their name. And it was a letter from his own name. You know, God Almighty, Jehovah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, he gave them that breath. You know, if you're going to make the sound of the H, then you got to have some breath, and it's the exhale of breath. And so when God changed their names, it was symbolic to us, amen, that we are partakers of his own divine nature, and we receive that because God has breathed into us. He has placed himself to come and abide within us. And that's what we see here. It's a foreshadowing of how we have been made partakers of Christ's divine nature, that he gave himself to die in our place. He gave himself and identified with our death so that we in turn could identify with his life, that we could receive the life of God, the Christ life, and that is what we live, amen? Paul wrote to his hearers and readers here in Hebrews, at least I believe Paul wrote it, and said that the patriarchs died in faith, not having received the full import of God's promises to them. But he said they saw them afar off. You know, the world doesn't understand that phrase. They died in faith. You know, they look at that and say, well, then they failed. Then they lost. They didn't receive. But the writer to the Hebrews knew better than that. He said, no, they went out of here believing God. They went out of here on the side of faith. And folks, that's the way I want to go out of here. Amen. That's the way I want to leave. Healing here, healing there. I want to go out of here in faith, not in doubt, not in unbelief, but in the faith of God. Amen. He said they died in faith, not having received the full import of the promises that God made to them. But he said they did see them afar off. They didn't receive them, at least not the fulfillment of all of it yet. But they saw these promises afar off. They were persuaded of them. And he said they embraced them, or they saluted them. They saw the promises approaching and they saluted the promises and they said, you are mine. Amen. God gave you promise to me. Hallelujah. God gave this word to me, and they embraced this. And because of this, the Bible said they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I say all of that to point out the fact that if you and I really catch hold of the promises of God, if we can really understand what God is saying he wants to do with us, if we can really understand what God has promised his church in the final analysis of civilization here on earth as it's known, then we would confess this is not our home. Amen. We would confess that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We say that and we believe that, but it's in light of the promises of God. Hallelujah. Oh, when we hear it, God promises this and promises life and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and the list goes on of the promises of God. And when we see that, amen, when we wrap our hearts and our spirits around it, we confess that we're strangers and pilgrims here. What are we saying when we confess that? We're saying this world doesn't have it for me. This world doesn't feed me. This world doesn't give me what I am after. I'm traveling through here, but I'm on my way to that which I really desire. I'm on my way to that glorification that really is the goal of my life. Hallelujah. We confess tonight we are strangers and pilgrims on this very earth. And in saying this, he said, they declared plainly that they were seeking a country. Oh, praise God. Do you know what that is? It's a fatherland or a motherland. Hallelujah. They're saying, because God has promised us what he's promised us, this world is not where we're from. This world is not our home. I have a fatherland. I have a motherland, and it's not the state of Alabama. I appreciate that. I'm glad, proud, thankful to be an American. Don't misunderstand, but I'm only going to be an American for as long as I live, folks. When I leave here, I'm going to be what I really am. I'm going to have that glorified body and be a citizen of glory. Praise God, an unhindered realization of who God has been making me all of these years. Amen. This means where they live now was not to them a fatherland. Oh, hallelujah to God. Along about the Second World War and even before, the Germans sang a lot about the fatherland, and they were willing to bleed and to die for the fatherland and do heinous acts, amen, for the glorification of their supposed fatherland. There have been others who would bleed and die and serve for the motherland, but it was all here. And when it's all here for you, you get the twisted mentality that was seen in the 30s and the 40s. Amen. With this world engulfed in war, when you're going to have your utopia here, it leads to destruction and death and the worst kind of malignities upon the face of this earth. But when you understand, I'm just a stranger here. I'm just a pilgrim here. I can't get too plugged into this. I can't get too tied to this because I am leaving. Let me tell you something, folks. If you believe what we believe, and this is your fatherland, this is your motherland here, amen, you see what's on the news right now, you're going to be mad and you're going to be vexed by it if you're not careful. It's one thing to have righteous indignation, but the devil wants that to carry over to some bitterness where nobody can stand to be around us because it's all we talk about. about. We don't lift up Christ. Amen. We talk about how bad the government and the cabal and the conspiracies are. I don't negate any of that. All I'm saying to you is this world is not my home. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. My citizenship is in glory. Amen. The Bible said if these folks had been mindful of that country out of which they came, they would have had opportunity to return. Do you know why people go back? Because their minds do first, and then their hearts follow, and then the rest of them follow the mind and the heart, and they end up back where they came from and being again who they were, because so much of spiritual life has to do with what we're mindful of. Oh, it's true. Where we let our minds stay, there are going to be stray thoughts run across your mind. It happens. But where you let your mind stay, you decide that. You govern that. Amen. It's like the old saying, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You can get rid of them. They don't have to build their nest where you are. They may fly over, but you send them on their way. And a lot of people don't do that. They get plugged in here and they don't realize what's going on, but they become worldly. They're more natural than they are spiritual. And so they're worldly. They'd never go and watch that rated R, rated whatever movie that has the nudity and the profanity. They would never listen to the music about carousing and another man's wife and all the rest of it. But they're too natural here. Amen. They've left off the spiritual. They haven't prayed through in a week. They haven't sought God. They haven't read His word. They're natural and not spiritual. And God says that is the definition of what a worldly man is now. Amen. That man who's more plugged into this world. But oh, thank God we're strangers and pilgrims. Oh, yes, our minds don't stay here. Our minds drift there. Thank God. Hallelujah. Our minds go there. You know, in the old days, and we still do it around here, but when we bury somebody, when there'd be an interment and we bury them in the cemetery, they were always with that headstone facing the east. Y'all know that? Sure. And you go some places now and it's not like that, you know. It's different. But in the old days and still here for the most part, that headstone's looking toward the east. Why do you believe that is? Somebody, whoever started all that. You know, I always said it was Ananias and Sapphira started church cemeteries. So they died right there. They take them out and bury them. Put them in a hole, where the closest one you got. I don't know how it all came about. But they put them in the ground. You know, they laid those bodies in the grave, facing the east, waiting for the resurrection. Hallelujah. So whoever started all that said, hey, this is the direction we're going. This is what we're aiming for. And our minds go there while we're living on this earth. Our minds look to that city. If you're walking in the spirit, Ezekiel saw that river and he said it flowed out of the house of God from under the altar, under the threshold, and it flowed toward the east. You cannot walk in the Spirit of God without your mind making its way toward the coming of the Lord. Amen. You can't walk in the Spirit of God without thinking about our homeland. See, I can't put my hope or the chief emphasis of my life on something that's going to be destroyed. All of this, so you realize so much of what we stress over. You ever stress? Sure. So much of what we stress over is going to burn up here. I always got tickled at Brother Wilkerson when he'd talk about this kind of thing. He said he'd give his kids, they would give them Christmas presents, you know, like we do. And he said, give them a new bike, you know, give Gary a new bike and this one, that, and the other. And they'd see it, open it up, you know, come running. Oh, Daddy, I got a new bike. You know, he'd be so excited. It's going to burn. That's what he'd say. I'll enjoy it, but it's going to burn. Amen. You ain't going to, I don't know if that's wise to do that, but it was always funny to me, just come right out with it. You know, well, that's great. I'm glad you enjoy it, but it ain't going to last. You got to have something that's going to last. You got to have your hope and your faith and your look into something that is going to last. This life we live in the present right now, it's the Christian life. It's a pilgrim life. This world is not a fatherland to us. And because of that, the life we live might be called a lonely life at times. And the world looks at it and says that's exactly what it is. From the perspective of the world, it's a lonely life. There was a huge spiritual gulf that separated Abram from all of his tribal neighbors. He was not who they were. He used to be, but when God called him, he wasn't that anymore. He's a singular man. He's a different man. Amen. The call of God brought him there, not his own will, but from the moment that God called this man, his life was no longer random. From the moment God put his finger on him, he no longer lived a random life. Even if he thought that's what was going on, it was a life of purpose, a life under the divine orders of God. And because of this separation, amen, from those around, from the culture, God said, get out of that. Don't be a part of that anymore. Get out of that idolatry. Because of this separation, simple things can become a snare to us. It don't have to be big things. It can be simple. Abram, you can't be too cozy with your surroundings. And you can't be too cozy with the people around you who are the opposite of what God is calling you to be. Oh, it's true. Your best friend, listen to me. It's wonderful to have friends. We all got friends, some saved and some lost. But the best friends we have, they cannot be those who do not line up with what God is making us into. Amen. It cannot be. Oh, Pastor, that's a little rough. No. That's an unequal yoke. You understand? I said it's an unequal yoke and it cannot be. No. Well, you know, we've been friends for a long time. Well, don't get rid of them. Just understand. You need to pray and believe God to save them. Pray and believe God to bring them into the kingdom. But you're not going in the same direction. And there's going to come a moment, sir. There's going to come a moment, ma'am, young man, young lady, when you realize we can't walk together anymore like we used to. We can't run together anymore like we used to because we're not going in the same direction. Amen. The deepest part of who you are, it can't be shared with somebody that don't know anything about your God. If that's the deepest part of you, then you can't share that with somebody. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean the gospel. I mean what God's doing in your life. They're not going to understand that. Amen. They're not going to be able to appreciate it. No. Abram, you're not what they are anymore. God has called you. God has brought you out. Oh, folks, the subtlety of worldliness is amazing tonight. The subtlety of it. See, the pressure in our moment of time is hard to imagine. The pressure of that world. The pressure. You know, they're not beating down your door asking you to go drinking and go partying and go this and go that. But the pressure of lapsing back into your mindset and lapsing back into the way you would have done things is unreal in this hour. The pressure to be you instead of be like him is unreal in this hour. And we all face it. Abram, you cannot get entangled with life in the present world. You got to be singular enough to build an altar everywhere you go because the Canaanites are not going to build it for you. This world's not going to worship your God. You got to do it. Amen. The cold, the lifeless, the dead, the religious, they're not going to worship your God. You got to worship your God. Oh, I wish that my husband would worship with me. I wish my wife would worship with me. We're believing God to do exactly that. But you've got to worship your God. You've got to serve him. You've got to worship him and praise him and glorify him where you are. I wish my kids that were raised in church would worship God with me. I wish they were in his house. You've got to pray. We've got to pray with you and believe God to accomplish just that. But you can't settle down. Amen. You've got to worship. You've got to praise him. You've got to stand. You've got to serve him, Abram. Doesn't matter if nobody else does. The Canaanites are not going to build the altar. You must build the altar. And you can't allow them to change or hinder that which God is making you. You can't allow it. What are you talking about? I don't mean be ugly. I don't mean be unkind. I mean keep your spiritual sense about you. And no, this is not your motherland, fatherland. This is not your country. This world, I mean. We belong to that which is a heavenly. Now, you know Abram. He went through a lot of things. You know about that. You've read it. And he had to keep on believing. We dealt with some of it last Wednesday night. He had to keep on believing, even though he couldn't see the fulfillment of the promise for many years. And the greatest trial of his faith in the surrendering up of Isaac. But he kept on going and kept on sojourning. And he walked through the length and the breadth of a lamb that God said he would give him. Amen. And yet he was a stranger in the midst of it. That is such a powerful thing to me. God said, I'm going to give you this land. And here's Abram living in tents, walking him down the land as a stranger. Everything God told him he was going to have, he didn't have hardly any of it, and he went for years without possessing it, and he died never really possessing the land. But it was okay because God had done such a work of sanctification in him that he looked for far more than anything on this earth. He kept going. He came to understand, hallelujah. He was among those who looked for a country, as we read it in Hebrews here. But the longer he walked with God, the more fine-tuned his desire became. That's what happens. The longer you serve him, the longer you walk with him, the more fine-tuned your desires become. That's the truth, folks. The more pinpoint accurate your desires become, until you come to the place where that scripture is fulfilled in you, he gives you the desires of your heart. Because you walk with him now, and the desires you have are the same desires he has. And your will and God's will suddenly become the same thing because the conformity is taking place. You're not just submitting to the will of God. Amen. Not that and that alone. We all do that. But we reach a place of conformity to the will of God as we walk with God, where I'm not dragged to wanting what God wants now. I want what God wants by nature. Hallelujah. I'm not taken there till I want what he wants. You know, I come there by nature. Praise the Lord. There's something in me that wants the will of God, that desires the will of God, that's what I'm after more than anything else. See, Abraham came to understand that God had built him. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you this land. Oh, praise the Lord. I appreciate it. But walking up and down it, he didn't own any of it. But the longer he walked up and down it, the less he was looking at it. And he started looking beyond it because he realized God's built me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. God has kept me. God has built my life. God has given me everything I have. I stand here. You know, Abraham was over 100 years old standing there. Think about it. On top of Mount Moriah, the wind blowing that old white beard. Standing there offering Isaac, who by that time was about 30 to 37 years old. But there's Abraham, the man of faith, standing out there, the breeze blowing that beard. Old man, white-headed, white beard, amen, the whole nine yards. But he's standing there realizing, I'm here today because God built me. I'm here today because when he said, get out of Ur of the Chaldees, he started me on a journey that he never was going to abandon me in. He has stayed with me every step of my journey. He has kept me through the things I didn't understand and didn't want nothing to do with. But God has kept me through them. Amen. He became the father of the faithful because he never lost faith in God. He kept the faith in God, and he came to understand that God had truly built him. He was the product of the life of God. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, then you explain how a man his age is going to have a son. We read it here out of this text tonight. The Bible said there sprang of him, and he is good as dead. Isaac came, amen, from a physically dead man in terms of reproductive ability. No, it was the ground of the resurrection of God. It was the ground ground of resurrection life. And he stood there realizing, God has built me, God has kept me, and God has empowered my life. He's a product of the life of God. Laying Isaac down on that altar, realizing everything I'm laying down here is a product of the life of God. What do you have? Everything we got is a product of the life of God. And so he started looking for a city that was built by those same hands that had built him. Lord, I appreciate you going to give me this land, but I don't fit here. Hallelujah. I appreciate it. And I know you said you're going to give houses that my children didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, olive orchards they didn't plant, all that. I appreciate it. I thank you for it. I know you're going to do it, but I can't stay here. I don't belong here. I don't fit here. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonderful thing, sir, when God does such a work in your life that you realize you were saved for more than what you've been doing. Hallelujah. I said, it's a wonderful thing when you realize he saved you and the blood of Jesus bought more for you than just your job and your life and your measly existence. Ma'am, it's something when you realize, as honorable as motherhood is and these other things that folks do, that he saved us for far more than anything that could be accomplished on this earth. No, it goes beyond this. I don't negate anything, but I'm telling you, there's something higher. There's a goal higher. And Abraham found it. He said, I won't fit here. I can't stay here. I appreciate the land, but I don't want to spend my days here. Just show me the way to the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. What was he looking for? He's looking for God. Amen. Let me live where God is. That's what he's saying. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me live where God lives. Let me walk on streets that God built. Let me come in through a gate of pearl that God fashioned. Amen. The God that has kept me, and the God that has built me, and the God that has raised me again and again, and the God who has always provided. I want to live with that God. That's my goal. The greatest word on all of this to me is this: wherefore God is not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. I love that. I was back there praying tonight, God, oh, don't be ashamed to be called mine. Don't let me do something that's going to make you ashamed to be identified with me. Don't let me get off the rails somehow so bad that you're ashamed that you ever had anything to do with me. Folks, the grace of God is an amazing thing. I said the grace of God is an amazing thing. Hundreds of years later, you think about it. When God called Moses to lead the descendants of Abraham out of Egyptian bondage, Abraham's kids, centuries later, God's going to lead them out of Egyptian bondage. How did God introduce himself to those slaves? How did God reveal himself to Moses? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Well, when you see all of that coming to be, Abraham's not a perfect man. He went down into Egypt when he didn't have no business going down there. Amen. He lied. You know this. Two times. He had no business lying. Told a half-truth. Amen. He did a lot of things that really were faithless. But God always brought him back, and he always went back, and he always came back and walked that path that he was supposed to walk. Amen. And God said, I ain't ashamed of him. Praise the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. You want to know who I am? Look at him. Look at Abraham. I'm his God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Can he say that about us? Can he say to somebody else, you want to know who I am? Look at my son. Look at Christ. And then look at Christ in his life. Look at Jesus in her. Look at Jesus in him. Hallelujah. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Think about the power of that, that God linked himself with that pilgrim and stranger Abraham. He linked himself up with a man that didn't even have a house, a man that lived in tents and walked through a land that God said was yours, and he never owned a square inch of it. Amen. He never really had a place. He never did. I know he stayed for a while here and yonder, but it never was known as Abraham's land. It was Israel much later. He's the first Hebrew in his lifetime. It was never known as the land of the Hebrews, the land of the descendants of Abram. But he walked through this land, and God said, I link myself up with that man. I choose him. Why aren't you going to choose somebody that can do something? I mean, you're going to start a nation with a man that can't have any children. I choose him. And I'll always be known as his. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, Abram crossed the river Euphrates. He was given a new name. And he was the first man to ever have the name Abram the Hebrew. First one ever called Abram the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Isaac, that miracle child, was the first one ever born Jewish. Ever born Hebrew, but he was. His father started the whole thing. God started it with him. But through the faithfulness of Abraham, not only did Abraham acquire a new name by which he was known, but so did God through the faithfulness of this man. Are you listening to me? He had demonstrated that he is Adonai, the Lord. In the creation, he revealed that he is Elohim, God in three persons. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The Lord said, Elohim. He would reveal that he is Adonai, Tzavaot, the Lord of hosts, and the names continue to be revealed. And all of them typify something about the character of God. But here, through the faithfulness of this man in trial, God chose a new surname. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Abraham. Are you Adonai? Yes. Elohim? Absolutely. El Shaddai? Better believe it. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, all of this, Jehovah Shalom, all of the divine names of God. Are you that God? Yes, I am. But when he's going to tell the children of Israel who he is, I am the God of Abraham. Hallelujah. I'm the God that gave myself and made a faithful man. I'm the God that kept that man. That's who I am. Bless his name. See, this man so surrendered to God that God filled his life with his own life and character and said, this man is righteous. This is a righteous man. And this man will be the father of all the faithful. And this man is my friend. God said that about this man. But it's not something just for Abraham. A lot of years later, when Elijah stood alone against 850 prophets of Baal, the Lord God Almighty became the God of Elijah. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Hallelujah. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the burning fiery furnace, and it was heated seven times hotter than usual, and they survived. God became known as the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He delights in these surnames, is what I'm saying. They're not won by the triumph of human will or human virility or anything else. No, no, no. They're won by the triumph of God's grace in the hearts of his people. Amen. We become trophies of the grace of God, and he's not ashamed to be called their God. Oh, isn't it wonderful when you go through a trial and God brings you through, and it was nothing more than the grace of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a trial or a test and it was hard? Amen. You didn't know if you were going to make it through. You didn't know if there was going to be anything of you left when you got through it. Oh, I may make it through this, God, but it's going to destroy me. This is the one that's going to kill me. me this is going to do me in. But God brought you through it by His grace. And when you come out on the other side of that, you realize He says, I am the God of Renee. I'm the God of Brenda. I'm the God of Levi. How are you going to be known? I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm Elijah's God. Paul said, my God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. And that's my testimony. My God will. I don't know about somebody else's God. Name but one. Amen. My God shall supply. Hallelujah. I've been through the trial. I've been through the test. And at the end of the day, He said, I'm the God of Jesse. I'm the God of Tony. I'm the God of Mitchell. Amen. I'm the God of Susan. I'm the God of Kaylin laying in a hospital bed, sir. Surgery after surgery. But He says, I'm His God. I'm His God. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying we serve the same God that Abraham did. And the promises that He's made to us are just as sure as those He made to Abraham. We're no different. He said, He's not ashamed to be called their God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you? I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. I'm not a millionaire here. If you are, God bless you. I don't have no problem with that. But I'm not a millionaire. Amen. I'm not somebody that has political influence. I'm not somebody that has a lot of pull. This ain't even my home. Jesus said it, the world, they're not going to know you because they don't know me. I'm not known here. That's all right. I'm waiting on the day when I hear my name called. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And He says, that one's mine. That one belongs to me. That's one of mine. Oh, yes. And I believe, folks, that He says it over and over and over, and we don't hear it yet. To the principalities and powers, God stands up in our defense and says, I am the God of Mary. I am the God of Trinity. The enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And that standard says, I am the God of Carey. Devil, some of the things, many of the things you thought you'd do, you're not going to do because I am the God of Carey. I am the God of Jessica. I am the God of Sherry. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do because I stand against you. My will, I have purchased this one in my blood. He's my God. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad I'm one of His. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm glad I belong to the Lord. He's my portion. He's what's mine. Amen. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have this or that. I don't have half a dozen or a dozen cars and trucks and all this kind of thing. I saw the other day a fellow comedian used to be on TV. They said he had three warehouses full of cars. You know, classic cars. He's a car guy and likes to tinker with them and all. He's the three warehouses full of them, more than he could ever drive, you know. But just, it's a guilty pleasure, I guess, for him. And he has all this stuff. You know, I'll never have that. I'll never, and if I had it, I'd feel guilty. You know, I've listened to too many missionaries to have three warehouses full of cars, folks. I can't do that. You know, it just wouldn't sit right. But in the final analysis of it all, I have the Lord as my portion. He's mine. He's mine. I'm His. And years later, as God has given, you know, our youngest tomorrow be 1 year old tomorrow. And we can't hardly believe that. We're praying for Sister Meg. tomorrow to make it through the day. That baby turning 1 year old, that's rough, you know. When he was walking, he took that first step, that was rough. You know, crying and carrying on. She's under conviction all the time, I guess. He cries a lot. But before I had any of that, those boys, my wife, I had him. And because I had him, that makes having her and those boys mean more than it ever could if I didn't have him. Before I had anything, I had him, so I had everything. Always. I've lived a charmed life, folks. Knowing God, serving God. God's been faithful. Your story's the same. You have him. Amen. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to trust him. What are you going to do in the election? I'm going to pray. I'm going to vote. I'm going to hope everybody else votes like I do. Amen. But I'm going to walk out of that booth with him. Glory to God. I don't understand folks that don't take him in there. They just don't have him. You know, they say they belong to the Lord and then vote opposite. I don't understand that. No, he goes everywhere. He goes everywhere. He is ours. I'm glad I can say that. I'm glad I can say that. Stand with me, please. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow when what you never expected happens? We're going to lean on him whom we have. We have Jesus. He's always faithful. He always has been. If you wrote your story down, our stories would sound a lot alike. They'd have different details, but the themes would be very similar. He kept me. He brought me through. He was good to me when I didn't deserve that. He forgave me again because he's who he is. Hallelujah. Can we thank him tonight? Love him. Praise the Lord. Worship him. Father, we thank you. Oh, we give you glory and praise and honor in this place because you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shila mamandra monsutora mamabandela makitola mahata. Khida bohuseida. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord tonight. The cross. cross and cried, "It's finished, I've got Jesus. Oh, I've got Jesus." You may have more riches than my eyes will ever see, and everyone may know your name and famous you may be. Although I own no earthly treasures, I'm a millionaire. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus. The one who fed 5,000 with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. The one who walked on the water and raised old Lazarus from the dead. The one who hung his head upon the cross and cried, "It's finished, I've got Jesus. Oh, I've got Jesus." And my eyes will ever see, and everyone may know your name and famous you may be. Although I own no earthly treasures, I'm a millionaire. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus. Oh, I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah to your name. Jesus, we give you glory. We thank you for being our portion. We thank you for being our light and our life. Oh, for being our help. Hallelujah, our strong tower, our defender. Thank you for it tonight, for being our healer. Oh, our keeper, our deliverer, the one who called us, separated us under the gospel of God. Lord, you have been offered to us. We take you tonight. We take you for our healing. We take you for our ability to forgive. We take you for our ability to love. We take you for our strength. We take you for our hope. We take you, Lord, for our endurance. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you for being in this place tonight on this Wednesday night. Remember, Sunday, we're going to have service.